Suspend your disbelief with me just for a moment, if you will. I know it's hot, but let's try. Imagine a group of students who have had no contact whatsoever with this dominant culture, this dominant Western culture that we live in. Imagine they showed up in the United States with an interest in learning about those of us who live here and who have been shaped by this cultural reality. What do you think they'd make of us here in 2022? If they were to interview a bunch of people for their studies, ask them about the things that are most important, the things that they love, ask them what makes life worth living, I wonder what they each might talk about. As one shaped by this culture, I'm guessing there would be talk of the importance of love, of spirituality and faith, family, friends, of vocation, the beauty of the natural world, music, art, good food. I'm guessing they'd hear all about the things people love to do and create, the importance of the connections they have to those in their lives, their companion animals, to the places they call home, to their stories, to their love of nature. This might be some of what they'd hear. But I wonder, what would they observe? Well, this group of students would undoubtedly see violence. A lot of violence. They would see enormous differences in standards of living, some with great wealth, whilst many are forced to live in unrelenting poverty. They would see people stressed and working long hours and buying a lot of stuff. They would see large-scale industrialization, incarceration, militarization, inhumane factory farming, and pollution, ecological degradation, and the unjust way that most human beings here live in relationship with one another and with the planet. They would hear talk of the things people love, the things they say are so important, but perhaps not witness that truth in the way that life is lived here. This seeming contradiction, human life as it's actually lived, compared to the human life that's so passionately hoped for by so many, this contradiction has mystified generations of thinkers. In his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do the very thing I hate. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." Well, it can be tempting to resolve this apparent contradiction by simply pointing the finger, laying the blame on individual moral or ethical failures, on greed, selfishness, for example. It can be equally tempting to blame an ideology. Capitalism, socialism, neoliberalism, simple as that. But it's not that simple, is it? Because reality, as we know from our own experience, the experience of our own lives, reality is never simple. Each of our thoughts and actions and the reasons behind them, each of them are the result of more influencing factors than we could ever identify. Our lives as we live them, our choices and our actions, they get all tangled up. They become entangled with economic and material realities, with ideologies, with histories. In this culture, we might struggle to understand our inability to do the things that really we should. But perhaps our student observers from an entirely different cultural reality, perhaps for them, they see no issue here. Because perhaps they think in ways that are entirely different to ours. For those of us who learned to think in this dominant culture, we have been taught to keep things tidy, and if possible, simple. We've been taught that if we just try hard enough, we can reduce anything that's really complicated into nice, simpler bits. And we're taught that nice, simpler bits are better, because simpler bits are easier to understand. The scientific method insists we isolate our variables, right? Especially if we want to change or manipulate them. In this dominant culture, we really, really want to make things simple. And so thinking of ourselves as entangled offers us a distinctly countercultural way of thinking about reality, resisting any such simplicity. Seeing life, the ways we all live, the decisions we make as a tangle, acknowledges that our reality cannot be made simple. Our reality is an entanglement of our actions with our experiences, our preferences, our material, economic realities, our hopes, our faiths, our abilities, our identities, our histories. Now, we can change the overall shape of it, but we can't untangle it. And neither should we want to, because the tangle is life. And perhaps life just wouldn't hold the creative potential if it were very neatly and tidily, flatly combed out. Let's assume our observing students are, in fact, attuned to this idea of entanglement. Well, they might naturally ask some additional questions to get sort of more fully understand us as that tangled whole. Because all of it is part of the tangle, right? All of it, our actions, our behaviors, all of it is entangled. To fill out the tangled shape of us, the interviewees might be asked about what they fear, what causes them pain, emotional pain, and where they find safety. Well, some of them might say they fear the unknown or change. Some may fear isolation, illness, violence. They may fear losing their housing, not having enough to feed their families or themselves, to cover the costs of an unknown future, or have enough money to take care of themselves in their old age or if they get sick. And they may feel pain when or if their fears are realized. They may feel pain when confronted by their traumas or when witnessing the suffering of others, or they may feel pain in the form of guilt or shame or regret. And some of them might describe feeling safe when they feel neither pain nor fear, when they don't feel vulnerable or exposed, when they're in control. Perhaps when they work really hard, when they're productive, when they feel they're of value to society, when they have all the stuff they need. When they're able to close the door of their own space, or when they're in familiar spaces doing familiar things with familiar people. And our observers might ask many more questions, and listening to the responses, they fill out this tangled picture of this dominant culture, perceiving the necessary complexity that actions and behaviors are entangled with beliefs and experiences and all the rest of it. So what does all this tangled up thinking have to do with the gospel? How might seeing our lives, our reality as an entanglement, help us as we strive for conversion of life? How might it work for us as we work for God's kingdom reality? Well, I think, importantly, it might help us step decisively and definitively away from the impulse to judge. In this culture where simplicity of thinking dominates, where it is assumed that one thing clearly and obviously leads to another, judgment is rife. But if we see our reality as a tangle, an entanglement of all that is each of us, judgment can be imagined as a sharp tug in one part of the tangle that forces a tight knot to form somewhere else in the bundle. And this tight knot is likely felt as some form of pain. Jesus holds the entangled mess of our lives and our realities, our faith and our fears. And his teachings tease out certain threads, changing the overall shape of what and who we are, whilst taking care not to create new knots of pain. When Jesus teaches in parables, like the one we heard just now, he teaches in response to certain people in certain contexts, and he does so, I believe, to avoid that sharp, knot-forming tug. Jesus' teachings are multidimensional and tangled, just as we are multidimensional and tangled. They do not speak simply to any one single behavior that can be isolated and pulled cleanly out of the tangled up whole. Jesus perceives and understands our fears, our worries, our loves, our hopes. He sees all that. He sees our fullness, not only our actions, not only our behaviors. Jesus does not acknowledge our worries and fears, see our mistakes and all the ways we fall short, only then to knot us up painfully with shame and guilt as a way to force us into change. He doesn't do that. And we shouldn't do that either. Not to ourselves and not to one another. Jesus does not come to add to the fear we already have or to the pain we already know. Jesus comes in love. For sure, this does not mean Jesus' teaching is easy or that the changes that we all need to make are small or insignificant. Jesus is the unrelenting yet loving force that changes us by changing our overall shape, the shape of our tangle. And we are called to be receptive to that, to be receptive and allow ourselves to be changed by him. And we are called to resist the painful distortions to our shape that are the result always of mistakenly asking of and seeking in the world the safety and certainty we should only ever seek in God.